we ended up last time discussing the requirement of wearing Levanim during the Shiva Nikiyim, and we kind of ran out of time, and I rushed at the end, so I just want to clarify a couple of points and discuss a little more than we had time to finish, and we'll move on to the main topic for today. I realized after the fact that I may not have sufficiently stressed that the Iker requirement of wearing Begadim Levanim during Shiva Nikiyim, as expressed by Poskim, is Begadim Tachtonim. We're not talking about wearing all white, we're talking about the undergarments that would catch any Ksamim coming out, and that was the discussion we had about that application to sheets, Bizman Hazeh. We noted that Poskim can discuss under certain extenuating circumstances, a rav may give a heter to women not to wear levanim during Shiva Nikiyim, where she has a makar, she has a situation that's making it difficult for her to have a clean tara process and to somewhat stack the deck in her favor by not having to deal with the possibility of problematic ksamim on levanim, where if the same kind of kesem on tzivonim would appear, would not be a problem. Rabbi Eider has another suggestion that he has in a footnote on page 118, that if you have a woman who is concerned about ksamim, again, a makkah situation where she has some condition that's preventing her from easily completing her Shiva Nikiyim, so another possible etza, although not as... it's not as unambiguous as wearing tzivonim. If a posek isn't willing to allow her to wear tzivonim, she could, in theory, just change her undergarments with more frequency to avoid the accumulation of a kesem that would be yoser mikigris. So he presents that as a theoretical etza as well. Now, Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say anything explicitly about checking the Levanim. Med Lashon Mechaber in Se'if Gimel was B'yom She'paseketh Mileris V'Badeketh Afma Kamur Tilbash Kala Kabadukla She'ein Bo Kesem U'Belayla Tassim Sedinim Abedukim Iksamim U'Miyam Mechaz Taskel Lisper Shiv Nekim. So the Mechaber just says she has to wear Begadim Levanim and use Begadim Nikiyim, Begadim Bedukim, and use Sedinim Bedukim. And the Ramah adds that the minig is Laveshes Levanim. And then in Siftal, the Mechaber writes, B'chol Yom Yizayin Yimei Esfiris, V'chol Yos Bodekes, L'chachila Amayim B'chol Yom. So there's no mention in Shulchan Aruch of having to be bodek the Levanim. It just says you have to wear the Levanim, but it doesn't say what to do with them once you're wearing them. If you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger here on Seif Dalid, writes, Lios bodek es lechachila, when the Mechaber says you have to lechachila do two bedikas a day, as we'll discuss, what bedikas are we talking about? Atzma v'chaluka. So she has to check herself, and she has to check her garments. Again, that's not explicit in Shulchan Aruch. Where does that come from, to have to check the garments? The Sidri Tari here in Sifkatin Tesvav, Sidri Tari in Sifkatin Tesvav points out that you have this in the Lashon HaRash, in his Kitzur Hilchas Nida, that short paragraph of the Rash in the end of Hilchas Nida, the Kitzur Hilchas Nida LaRash, there he writes, Uba'osan ha'zayin yamim tivdak b'chol yom atzma v'chaluka. During the 7 days, a woman has to perform a bedika on herself and a bedika on her garment. So that's where the Rebbe Kiva Eger is coming from. Presumably, that's the Lashon HaRash in the Kitzur Piskei Kitzur Hilchas Nida LaHarash. So the way Rebbe Kiva Eger is presenting it, it sounds like no indication that the frequency of bedika for the garment should be less than the frequency of bedika for the regular bedikas. So just like the regular bedikas, the chachila twice a day, bedikas on the garment should the chachila be twice a day as well, it would sound like. Rebbe Vadya seems to assume this way. Rebbe Vadya on page Shin Beis onto Shin Gimel says that the chachila, so a woman should check her undergarments twice a day as well. Rabbi Eider is a little bit less convinced of such a formal requirement. He points out on page 118 that aside from the Lashon HaRosh, you don't really find this formulation in other Rishonim. So it's true, because Eider has it here and you have it in the Rosh, but it's not really so clear l'alacha whether we assume the way, whether you really have to check twice a day, the same time or the same frequency as you do the regular bedikos. The way Rabbi Four says it, which I think is a more accepted practice, is that when a woman takes off her other garments, when she changes, so then she should look at it. It's not the same level of formal requirement as the bedika, that whenever you do bedika shakras, bedikas in the afternoon, then you have to check the undergarment at the same time. So that's what some of the Rabbi Eider assumes, Rabbi Four seems to assume, that it's sufficient to check the garment when you take it off. Anyway, you slice it, no one, whatever you hold about what bedikos are ma'akivs will discuss, no one would say that not checking the levanim, not checking the garments, would be li'ikuva. So it's a lechachila, whether lechachila is twice a day, whether it's just when you remove it, which could be once a day, that's a discussion among contemporary poskim, but I think Evan would agree that it's definitely not li'ikuva. Michael?
You have to actually inspect the baghead, or could you just look at it like at face and you don't see anything? If you look really, really, or do you need to look like at every, the microscope?
Well, you never need to use a microscope. You look at it, it would be pretty clear if there's anything there.
So let's say you have to look really close and see like a pinhole size of a dam. Would that be not like the...
How big was the pinhole? If it's something that could be seen in the normal vision of the naked eye, then that would, again, if that size, it's going to be pachas migigris, which isn't going to concern us anyway.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What about behavior? Why, if it seems to be like a more formal bedika,
yeah,
then shouldn't the pachas migigris not apply? It should be any.
No, it's not a bedika. It's still not. It's still not that kind of a bedika.
Okay.
The requirement is to check it, but that doesn't give it the status of a bedika. Nothing's being inserted into the body. Now we'll move on to discuss the requirement of bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam. The Mishnah, Das Samech Chesamun Beis, presents 3 days in Tanaim as to what bedikos are sufficient to be eved. But the Mishnah and the Gemara don't talk explicitly about what is necessary l'chachila. I think for the purposes of understanding the sugya, it might be more fruitful to first discuss the l'chachila, and then after that discuss the bedieved. So let's start with the l'chachila. Tosas and Daf Chesam and Aleph, Chesam and Beis, sorry, Dibur Maskel of Reblazer, Tosas of Chesam and Beis, Dibur Maskel of Reblazer, makes a passing comment that L'chachila, a woman, needs to perform bedikos, every one of, or perform a bedika, to be bodekes, every one of the Shiva Nikiyam. Now the Mishnah discusses 3 days in Tanayim, what's the status of a women who only perform bedikos on day 1 and day 7. So that we'll have to discuss as we move on. But that's only talking about bedieved. Tosfos writes l'chachila, a woman needs to perform a bedika once a day. Once a day, every day, during the Shiva Nikiyam. So says the Rosh in his Hilchos Nida as well. L'chachila, a woman needs to be bodekes every one of the Shiva Nikiyam once a day. The Ravid writes, Shar bedika v'asfira simen beis. Shar bedika v'asfira, that's the mashmaos of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, alashon bedieved, what's the status if a woman was bodekes only day 1 and day 7? Hazava, zavashat batku atzman b'yom rishon amasa tahor, b'yom ha-shvi amasa tahor, v'shar yamin shebisayim lo batku, that's alashon bedieved. So what's the din? The Mishnah tells us in a case where a woman only did bedikos on day 1 and day 7, mashma, that's bedieved, But l'chachila, you need to do more. So the Ravid assumes that the only more that we can be talking about is every one of the 7 days. There's no reasonable middle position they have to do with 3 days, 4 days. It's either all or the less than all that the Mishnah presents is 1 and 7. So that's a b'di'evad. It's logical that the l'chachila would be every day. Alma l'chachila mitzvahs b'dika kol shiva. So it writes, it goes maimonios perek vav os dalet. Perek vav os dalet. The Balamor in Os Beis disputes the Ravid's diyuk. He doesn't think that that's a legitimate diyuk to be mechalik between lechachila b'di'evad based on lashon Mishnah. So he thinks that lahalacha there's no real difference between lechachila and b'di'evad. So what emerges according to the Balamor is there's no need to be bodeg b'chol yom even lechachila. So the Mishnah situation of Aleph Zayin is as lechachila as you're going to get. As long as you're bodeg on day 1 and day 7, at least lahalacha, there's no need to be bodeg any further. The Ramban writes in his Hilchos Nida, Perek Tes Halacha Kaf Beis, the Mishnah speaks about Bedikas Aleph Hizayin, Achmina Mufkar, who lived up B'chol Yom V'yom, Yizayin Nimeya Sfira. So the Mina Mufkar, the L'chachila, the optimal way of doing it is to be Bodek every day of the Shivanakim. What's the Shitas Rambam? So the Rambam, Perek Vav, Halacha Kaf Aleph, Halacha Kaf Beis, essentially is only Noket Lashon HaMishnah. So I'm not sure if you can really deduce from that what the Shitas HaRambam is as far as the L'chachila. And the Rambam makes no mention of Bedikas beyond day 1 and day 7, but the Rambam is only noked the Lashon HaMishnah. So if you have that approach, it could be the Rambam would read it other Rishonim. Maybe there is still L'chachila of Bedikas B'chol Yom, even though he makes no explicit reference of it. Okay, but all these Rishonim that we just mentioned, Tosfos, the Rush, the Ravid, the Ramban, maybe the Rambam, the L'chachila for these Rishonim is only to perform one Bedika day, no mention of any requirement of going beyond a single Bedika. However, the Torah quotes from the Smag, that a woman needs to be bodekes twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon. This also quotes this from the Smag, from the Smak, from the Sefer Truma, from the Mordechai B'Shem HaRokeach, Sefer Truma Simen Samach Zayin into Simen Samach Ches. It's also found in the Shari Dura Os Ches. So all these Rishonim assume there's a requirement of bedikos twice a day. Lashon HaSmag, as Beis Yosef quotes, b'shachar kishomedes mimitasa, that a woman must perform a bedika during the Shivanakim in the morning when she gets out of bed. V'arvis kishaholefes the Beis HaKnesses kodem she'alayla, in the afternoon before she goes to shul, before it's night, because obviously all women go to shul for mincha. So, in medieval Europe. So, before a woman goes to shul, then she needs to perform another bedika. If anyone can find any historical substantiation of a woman regularly going to shul during the Tkufas HaRishonim for Mincha, I'd be appreciative. I think it's a curious line, but all the Rishonim have it. All the Rishonim that have this, the Smag, and the Sefer Truma, and the Rokeach, and the Shari Dura, they all have this formulation that the bedika in the afternoon should be performed before the woman goes to shul. Presumably for mincha, because if she's going to, sorry, no, it could be for Marv. Because in the Kuvas HaRishonim, the famous Truma Sadeshen, it sounds like in many communities they daven Marv early, before the Zman, definitely before Shkia, Shmuel Sadeshin discusses how they daven Ma'ariv even before Plag, and wonders how they could do that. So historically, I'm not sure if in all communities, but it sounds like there definitely was a prevalent practice in some places to daven Ma'ariv way early. So it could be that the woman's going to shul for Ma'ariv, and she's just doing the Hafzikah before she goes to shul for Ma'ariv, because after she goes to shul for Ma'ariv, she gets into the Trumas Hadeshin Shaila of doing the stakes for Bedika are lower than for Hafzikah, but that discussion of what day it is after Yad Ma'ariv. Be that as it may, curious line, but the formulation is Bedika Shachar is for Arvis, meaning the morning and the afternoon before night. And that's not... Yosef?
Oh, just an interesting source. Apparently, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda of Worms said his wife went to shul morning and night. So it's another source that woman went to shul.
Is that the Rokeach?
Sounds like...
Oh, this is this source. Oh, never mind.
No, not never mind.
No, Eliezer, who's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yehuda?
That's not the Rokeach?
That sounds like...
Yeah, so what's the Mar Malkum?
It quotes a journal, not a rokeach, so I can't find it right now, but I'll look into it.
So I wonder if they're just quoting this rokeach who talks about women doing a bedikah before going to shul. But okay, you can look into that later. Anyway, it sounds, from the smag, it seems pretty clear from the hemshach of the smag that the requirement of bedikos twice a day is such that on day one and day seven, both bedikos are likuva. So we'll talk about the machlokas tanaim here, about one and seven being likuva. But to the extent that one and seven are likuva, it's not just one on day one and one on day seven, but two on day one and two on day seven. So this is a rigorous requirement of two bedikos to the point that if you missed even one bedika on day one or day seven, even if you perform the other one, that's still going to be ma'akev. So that's clear in the smag, clear in the rokeach, clear in the sefer truma, simin samech ches. Simin samech ches.
The 1 and 7 are both ma'akev?
1 and 7 are both ma'akev, and not only is 1 and 7 ma'akev, but both bedikos on 1 and 7 are ma'akev. So if you miss either bedikah on day 1 or day 7, that's li'kuva. In the Mordechai shvuas tafshin lamed zayin, the Mordechai Tavshin Lamed Zayin sounds like Bedika Shachris Riyarvis is only Ma'akev on day one, but on day seven, only one Bedika is Likuva. So on day one, both Bedikas are Likuva. On day seven, only one Bedika is Likuva. But most of the Rishonim that present this position treat one and seven equally, that in both days, both Bedikas are Likuva. Where does this requirement of two bedikos come from? Beit Yosef suggests that it's presumably based on a Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph. Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph tells us, Alpha Bisha Amru Daya Shaita, Tzricha Liyos Bodekes Chutz Min Anida, VeYosheves Al Dam Tohar. That even a woman that has a vest kavua still needs to perform bedikos. This is in the context of being able to eat taros. I'm skipping a little. Upa'amim tzvicha liyos bodekes shachris ubein ashmashas. And sometimes a woman needs to perform bedikos both in the morning and in the evening. What's the context here? See Rashi. Pa'amim tzvichal yos bodekas kol isha, shachris ubein ashmashos, shachris lahakshir taros shalayla, arvis lahakshir taros shalyom. So if a woman who is tahora, a woman who's muhzakas as tahora, she's not b'shas vesta, if she wants to eat taros, so she needs to perform a bedika in the morning to establish that the taros that she ate the previous evening were not tainted by any possible tumah. So she performs a bedikah in the morning and establishes that she has retained her cheskes tara, and therefore any taras that she ate last night remain tahor. And then another bedika in the evening, arvis lahakshir taharas shel yom, to establish that she was still tahora that day, and any taharas that she came in contact with during the daytime remain tahor. Okay, so in the context of a woman who is eating or coming in contact with taharas, the Mishnah says she has to perform bedikos twice a day to establish that the previous ona in which she was eating or coming in contact with taharas, that she was tahora. So that's a little bit difficult to understand. What's the jump from that mission, Daf Yud Aleph, in the case of a woman who is becheskas tahora, eating taros, to requiring two bedikas a day for a woman counting shiva nikia? Isn't that a totally different cheshbon? There we need to establish that during the previous ona, the woman was tahora and didn't compromise the taros that she came in contact with, which has nothing to do with the requirement of bedikos during shiva nikiyam as part of the process of tahara. And after all, the Gemara says there in Amud Beis, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara writes, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Lashanu Ela B'isha Asuka B'taros. Sorry, before that. Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, two dots on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Loshanu Ela Taros. This whole din of the Mishnah, Pamishi Tzvicha Livdov, Shachris Abayin Abayim, that's only talking about Taros. Aval Labayla Mutaros. But Labayla, she's Mutaros Velo Bedika. Again, here we're talking about a woman who's Tahora. So we're concerned, even though she's Tahora, we have to require an extra level of comfort, an extra level of certainty that she remains Tahora Linyataros. But that requirement of these twice a day bedikos have no impact on the Heter Labayla. So the Gemara here clearly makes a distinction between the Taros context and the Heter Labayla context. And it may see that the Mishnah here in the Taros context is relevant in requiring two bedikas a day for shiva nikiyam. This is what Rabbi Kivager is bothered by. Chuvas Rabbi Kivager, Kama, Simon Samach. Chuvas Rabbi Kivager, Kama, Simon Samach. Paragraph beginning, Hein Emes. Rabbi Kivager there is Mitzayim the Bach. The Bach here in Sifkatan Hey tries to address this problem. Bach suggests b'sfiras shiva nikiyam labayla tzricha bedika kamo letaros liachar shetavla. The Mishnah Daf Yud Aleph is talking about a woman who is tahora, a woman who is totally mitaros labayla. She's tahora, and there's a requirement of two bedikas a day for taros. So when the Gemara there distinguishes between Taros and Heter Labayla, that's talking about a woman who's Tahora. But maybe if we're talking about a woman who is Tameya, a woman who is in the process of Shiva Nikiyam, so maybe there, her status is analogous to that of the Tahora woman Linya Taros. And just like the Tahora woman Linya Taros requires two bedikos, then this woman during Shiva Nikiyam would require two bedikos as well. Why? Because he writes that here, the woman during Shiva Nikiyam is Becheskas Temeya, as opposed to the woman who's Tahora, who's Becheskas Tara. So if a woman is Becheskas Tara, so then the only requirement of two bedikos is an Yintaros. if a woman is b'chas kastuma, then maybe she requires two bedikos as well. Sidrei Tarin of Katan Yudal, the quotes is Bach himself, Sidrei Tarin of Katan Yudal, quotes the Bach verbatim. So the Bach seems to be assuming that a woman who's in Shivan Nikiyam is still considered b'chas kastuma. Even after the Hefek Tara, and even after Bedikas Yom Eched, we discussed previously, and we'll have to come back to this again, the Chavis Das, that a woman is considered Becheskas Tumah until the Hefek Tara, and according to the Chavis Das, until Bedikas Yom Rishon as well. But even the Chavis Das agrees that after Bedikas Yom Rishon, a woman is considered to be Becheskas Torah. Right? So the possibilities are, that maybe a woman is Becheskas Torah even before Hefek Tara. Maybe once it's a Heftek Tara, she's Becheskas Tara. Maybe you need Heftek Tara and Bedikas Yom Aleph to be Becheskas Tara. And the Baal seems to be assuming that even after Bedikas Yom Aleph, even after the Heftek Tara, she's still Becheskas Tumah. So that explanation of the Baal, to the extent that it works, presupposes an assumption that many other Rachmanim dispute. The Baal is assuming that a woman is considered Becheskas Tumah. And because she's Becheskas Tumah, maybe the threshold for bedikos is higher, and we would require two bedikos a day.
Is that a puzzle look? It's a separate reason, though, than the Mishnah. Like, the source for the din...
Correct. Even if you make the assumption, it's still a jump, but I'm just saying that if you don't make that assumption, you can't even attempt that jump. Right? Rabbi Willig suggests, he writes this in his article in Vestos, which is reprinted in the Am Mordechai, the last volume of Am Mordechai, Andalach Chalkei Shulchan Aruch. I think it's Simon Kaf Dalid Osei. Simon Kaf Dalet Osei in the Am Mordechai and Dalet Kaf Shulchan Aruch, that at least within the Mordechai, according to the Rokeach, is one of the Rishonim that has two bedikas a day. So at least within that Rishon, maybe this is Lishitasa. How so? The Mordechai writes in Simon Tav Shin Lamed Hei, quoting from Rashi and Rebbeinu Tam, where the Mordechai understood Rashi Rebbeinu Tam and that Sugya and Daf Yud Aleph. That sugya is talking about a woman that has a ves kavua. But if a woman doesn't have a ves kavua, then even in any normal situation, any regular day when she's tahora, she still requires bedikas, shachris v'arvis, to be mutaris l'bayla. So there is such a day in Rishonim that a woman who doesn't have a ves kavua requires bedikas Lahatira Labaila, even Bimei Tahrasa. So we don't assume like that position Lahalach and Simon Kuf Pevav. Clearly not the beginning of Simon Kuf Pevav. But Rabbi Willig suggests that maybe the Mordechai is Lishitaso, that if you're Mahmir in that Sugan Dafir Aleph to require two Bedikos, even Labaila, under certain circumstances. So then, it's less of a jump to require two bedikos as part of Shiva Nikiyam. Now, that's not going to work for all the Rishonim. For example, the Sefer Trum is also the position that you require bedikos, shakris, the arvis of chachila, two bedikos a day during Shiva Nikiyam. But the Mordechai there, close to Sefer Truma, is arguing on this presentation of Rashi Ben Atam and assuming that you don't require bedikos labayla even for women she'ein laves kavua. So even if it works with Shitas in the Mordechai, it doesn't work in the Sefer Truma. Rabbi Willig always points out in other contexts that the fact that you find a Rishon where a Lishitasa doesn't line up doesn't mean that in methodology that Lishitasa falls apart. Okay. What do we assume lahalacha? Now let's open the Shulchan Aruch again. Simen Kuf Tzadi Vav Se'if Dalet. We started reading it before. B'chol yom yishiva yamei asfira. Tzricha lios bodekas lechachila. Pa'amayim b'chol yom. So every day, the shiva nekiyim, a woman has to lechachila be bodekas twice a day. Achas shachris. V'achas sambuch lebein hashmashas. Once in the morning, and once samuch lebein hashmashas. Okay, so lechachila, women has to be bodekes twice a day, morning and afternoon. So most of us can assume that this lechachila shachris means after zricha, after nates. But before nates, after los, is only b'di'evet. So like other mitzvahs hayom, lechachila is after nates, b'di'evet, just like all the things listed in that Mishnah Megillah, b'di'evet would work after a los as well. That's clear in Tosfos on Daf Samach Pesamid Aleph. Dibur Maskil Shiva. Tosfos Samach Pesamid Aleph, Dibur Maskil Shiva. Tosfos there, in discussing his position that Bedikas Laila doesn't work even B'di'evet, that Bedika has to be by day and can't be affected by night even B'di'evet. Tosfos contrasts that with a Bedika after Amid HaShachar, which would work at least B'di'evet. Okay, so B'dika Shachris before Alos is meaningless. L'chachila after Nates, B'di'evet after Alos would work. Rabbi Wohendler in the Gufei Halachos, the Mishnah Berurah Chadash, I think we quoted once before, the Gufei Halachos, Be'er Halacha Dibur Maskil B'chol Yom, Be'er Halacha Dibur Maskil B'chol Yom. So he writes, this is the early Kitzur book in Hilchos Nida, before the Badr Shochan, before most of the other contemporary Svarim. So he writes here that there's no chiyah for a woman to get up at nates to do a bedika shachris. Just like other mitzvahs hayom is manan kol hayom. So you don't have to get up at the earliest possible point to do bedika. Rabbi Burstein from Achon Pua was giving a shiur here once, and he mentioned that he once encountered a situation of a Shalom Bayis problem with a young newly married couple where the husband insisted on waking his wife up at Nates every morning that she was during the Zayin Nikiyim to make sure that she did a bedik as soon as possible after Hanets. So in the summer, if Nates is 5 o'clock in the morning, you could see where that could lead to trouble. So that's not what most folks consume. There's no requirement to get up at the Nates of the Bedika, the earliest possible point. That's the Lashon of Rishonim, when she gets up, right? Lashon of Smag, Kisha Kamim Mitasa, when she gets up in the morning, do Bedika, but no need to get up literally at the crack of dawn. What about on the other side, the evening side? I think morning, by definition, is still Chatzos, so it's probably prudent to do it on the earlier end, not to wait till a minute before Chatzos, but once you're not doing it at the moment, the earliest possible point, presumably any time in the... Again, Lashon Rishon Kishikam Mitasa sounds like it's part of the normal getting up process, the waking process, the getting dressed process. As we'll discuss a little bit later, not today, what B'dikos really are meant to accomplish, but to the extent that it establishes that nothing's been going on in the last bit of time, so it makes sense that that's something when you would get up in the morning, so you establish that nothing's been going on while you're sleeping. On the other end, Rav Moshe writes, Chelik Beis Yoredei at the end of Siman Ayin Tes. Chelik Beis Yoredei at the end of Siman Ayin Tes. Loshen HaMechaber is that the second Bidika is Samuch L'Bein HaShmoshet. Samuch Bein HaShmoshet means before Shkia. But so that's a lechachila. Lechachila is samach ben hashmashes before shkia. But Moshe writes, since anyway this is only din lechachila, it's meikra din rovi shonim hol that all you need is one bedika day. So the whole requirement of a second bedika is only a din lechachila. So if it's hard to get the bedika in before shkia, she could even do a ben hashmashes. And even if you can't do it within 9 minutes after Shkia, you can still do it till Tzeis, which is still Ben HaShmashas according to Ben HaTam. After Tzeis, then there's no more point. So, Licha Achila before Samach Ben HaShmashas. And B'di'evet, Rav Moshe writes, you can even do it during Ben HaShmashas.
Said that it doesn't help anyways because you're relying on the day one and day seven.
No, he is saying, they say Bidi Eved, there are two levels. Number one, he's saying two things. Number one, second Bidika itself is only Lechagila. And number two, even if you didn't do any Bidika today, you can still rely on the day one and day seven Bidika.
Definitely said the first
farm,
but the second
bidika
is...
Yeah, I'll read you. Push comes to shove, even if she didn't do the nighttime bidika, she's still muteris. B'di'evet olulo gamba bidika d'yom rishon d'yom shvi levad. So number one, if push comes to shove, she can rely on the bidika of day one and day seven. The gam harbi sober, daf l'chachila, inos v'icha livdok ala pa'am achas b'yom. And many rishonim hold, you only need one bidika day anyway. So even the l'chachila, according to many rishonim, is only once a day. Right, so that's two reasons, or a fused reason, why we're not so concerned if you delay the second bedika past Shkia, and even if you didn't do the second bedika at all, not so horrible. Rav Avadya writes something similar as well, page Shin Beis to Shin Gimel, L'chachila before Shkia, but you can do it Ben HaShmashos as well. Rav Avner is quoted in Shir Shevet Alevi as saying that L'chachila is from Mincha Ketan. And Mishum Hidur is Samuch L'Shkia. So let's assume that Samuch means a half hour, as in the context of Hefzat Tara. So the way Rav Ozner is quoted as saying is that from Mincha Ketan is L'chachila, and right before Shkia is a Hidur. So Rabbi Morgenstern presents this as a machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Ozner. Rav Moshe is saying that Samuch L'Shkia is a lechachila, and Rav Ozner is saying that from Mechidam is a lechachila, and Samuch L'Shkia is only a hiddur. So how l'maisa you diffuse the difference between a lechachila and a hiddur in the sense where there are competing priorities, I'm not sure. He quotes that Rav Yashiv was inclined to what he presents as a Rav Moshe position, that Samuch L'Shkia is a lechachila and more than just a hiddur. So if you read Rav Moshe that closely, does that mean, I presume, he doesn't talk about this, but I presume, it would still be better to do the afternoon bedika after Mincha Tana rather than after Shkia? Meaning, let's say the lechachila is to do it right before Shkia, half hour before Shkia. So you have a choice between doing it 10 minutes after Shkia, or 5 minutes after Shkia, and an hour before Shkia. So I presume, even Moshe would say that it's better to do it an hour before Shkia than 5 minutes after Shkia. Assume. The Poskim do indicate, and Rav Vosner has this among others, that since anyway many of Rishonim only have the requirement of one bedikah day, so where there is a necessity, you could dispense with the second bedikah.
I mean, the daytime bedikah is more. It would according to the sheet that say once a day, it means to the day.
According to the Shittos that it's once a day, it sounds like that should be in the morning. Not just any time during the day. So, for example, so no, I take that back. I take that back. I guess in the Rishonim that I presented, they don't say morning. I take that back. By the way, I think I misstated the Mar Malkam for Tosfos at the beginning of this year. The Tosfos that says once a day is Daf Zayin of the days, Dibur Maskil Reb Lazer. Which
one?
It's according to. So, l'halacha, I think the way it's presented is that you should do the morning. If you're going to dispense with the second bedikah under extenuating circumstances, so then you dispense with the afternoon one, which is viewed as the l'chumra, as opposed to the morning one. But according to those we've shown him that require two, there is a distinction between morning and afternoon. I think that's how it's presented, but Stan's making a good point that in those Rishonim that only require a single bedika, I have to check at all of them, but offhand, I can't think of any Rishon that specifically formulates it as requiring bedika chakras. It's a good hour. Questions? Yeah, but Sam's pointing out is that it depends on your perspective, meaning if having two is l'chumra.
I know, I'm saying once you're doing one.
Right.
But since we're still.
So those what Sam's pointing out is that in theory, if the rationale for dispensing with the second bedikah is that Mikra didn't, we seem like all the other Rishonim, well, all the other Rishonim don't necessarily state a preference for morning bedikah over an afternoon bedikah. We'll see. There may still be a preference for other reasons. But I think that's a valid point. Maybe we'll come back to that. Okay. Now, Rabbi Willig has his famous kula here, which I think is probably the most radical kula that he has in Hilchos Nidah. That nowadays, even l'chafila, women should not or need not perform two bedikos, even l'chafila, during Shiv and Nikiyah. As experience has shown, that most problematic bedikos are because of the stress and the pressure of performing a bediko later in the day in the afternoon. It used to be that women were less stressed, they had more help, varaya, they went to shul every day for mincha. But nowadays, women have jobs, they have small kids at home, and there's no help. So that creates a lot of stress and pressure. And when you perform a bedikah under stress and pressure, it often doesn't end up well. Even though it's true that the Mishnah tells us in Daf Yud Gimel, Kol Yad Marba lived up in Ashim Mishubachas, that independent of the formal requirements of bedikas, there's a notion that the more bedikas the better, that a woman should do even extra bedikas. So even if you don't have a formal requirement to bedikas, but isn't our orientation, then you should always do extra bedikas. So again, that's not necessarily true to the same extent Bizman Hazeh. Rabbi Eider quotes, Rav Moshe Asher Shuvah is Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Ruhlin didn't quote this in this context, but I'm just embellishing a little. Shuvah Kav Ches to Rabbi Eider, Rav Moshe was asked whether a woman during Shivan Akiyam needs to use Dafka white toilet paper, just like there's a requirement of Levanim, Begadim Levanim, Steenim Levanim. Does a woman Dafka have to wipe herself with white toilet paper? So Rav Moshe assumes not. Rav Moshe writes in that context that the whole notion of Koliyad Marba lived up in Ashim Mishubachas is only Bimei Tairasa. And on some level, there is a benefit value to performing extra bedikas Bimei Tairasa. But, says Rav Moshe, Bimei Tumasa during Shivan Akiyam, Eilanu Ella, what Chazal required. So Chazal already set up a system for checking a woman through Shivan Akiyam. So whatever those requirements are, two bedikas a day, there's no requirement and there's no value in doing extra bedikas, extra chumras. So Chazal never told you you have to use white toilet paper. There's no need to create an extra chumra. Especially nowadays, we tend to be more machmir on maros than is required mikra adin. So many maros that we're going to be metame, even though mikra adin is probably mara tahor. So since anyway we're operating on the level of chumra with a lot of our maros, so you don't have to create a situation where you may end up with more problems than you'd have with the necessary minimum requirements of chazal. So Moshe says, therefore, there's no need to be mapping a white toilet paper. Whatever the requirements of bedikos, levayim, and shivan akiyam are, it's as stated by Chazal, poskim, we don't have to add on to that. Chachmas Adar writes, kuf yidzayin os yidgimel, kuf yidzayin os yidgimel, that if a woman is prone to finding tsamim or the like, or having discharges that could potentially pose a problem, so then there's no need, and it's a bad idea to be mafmir, be made tarasa, to be bodek more than the halacha requires. So that's another context in which this notion of kaliyadim arba lived up in Hashim doesn't always apply. So based on that perspective, even though it's against what it says in Shulchan Aruch, but partially because he thinks that this Mordechai may be lishitaso with a shita that we don't pass like otherwise, and partially because since the Ikar Adin, the requirement of the Dikos, according to many Rishonim, is only once a day, and they're probably posed by twice a day, so Rabbi Wilk is very comfortable telling people that even Lechachila, it's only necessary to perform one Bedika a day during Shivan Akiyam. Let's move on now to discuss the Neser Bedikos Bidiyaved. And before explaining that too much, we should discuss as kind of a hakdama whether the requirement for Bedikos or Shivan Akiyam Bechlal is a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. Let's start with the Mishnah on Samech Ches Amud Beis that we already alluded to. The Mishnah tells us, Samech Ches Amud Beis, Hazav, Hazav, Shabaku, Atman, Biyom Yishan Masi Tahor, or Biyom Ashri Masi Tahor, Vishar Yom Shabin Sayim Lo Batu. So women perform the Bedika on day one, day seven, but no Bedikos on the intervening days. The Blazer Omer, Hare Hei Mechaz Kastara. The Blazer says the woman in this situation remained b'cheskes tahara, meaning that no further action is required. She did a bedikah on day 1 and day 7, that's sufficient. If the bedikos don't yield anything, then she can proceed to go to the mikvah at the completion of the shiva nikiyam, and there's no need to add any extra days. Harein b'cheskes tahara, the woman is tahara, she did what's necessary, bedikos al bedikos zayin, and there's no need for any further action on her part. Yeshua Omer, Ein lehem ella yom rishon, yom shvi b'vai. Yeshua says no. Day 1 counts, and day 7 counts, but you're still missing 5 days. So you need to have a bedikah on every day of the Shiva Nikiyam, but the fact that you miss some days in the middle doesn't mean you start the clock from the beginning again. Those days that you did a bedikah on count, but you have to add on another 5 days at the end. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Lohem Ella Yom Shvi'i. Rabbi Kiva says, no, the only day that counts is day 7. So you miss the entire first 6 days, and then you have to count another 6 days. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you need consecutive days, and you need a bedikah on every day. So essentially, there are 2 sub-issues that are being debated here among the Tanaim. If you want to see a relatively clear presentation of this, you can take a look at the Mereshes Moshe Siman Kuf Kaf Hei. Mereshes Moshe Siman Kuf Kaf Hei. But issue number 1 is, do you need a bedikah every day in order to count that day towards Shiva Nikiyam? So according to Blazer, no, you don't need a bedikah every day. As long as you have bedikahs Aleph Zayin, that's sufficient to count to Shiva Nikiyam, even if you're missing the bedikos on the intervening days. According to both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, no, you need a bedika on every single day of the Shiva Nikiyam. They argue, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, about whether missing days brings the clock back to day 1, but they both agree that in order for a day to count to a Shiva Nikiyam, that day needs to have a bedika. So according to Blazer, not every day of Shiva Nikiyam needs a bedika. According to both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, with different applications, but according to both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva, in principle, in order for a day to count towards Shiva Nikiyam, it needs to have a bedika. And then the second point of dispute is whether the days need to be consecutive. If I miss a day, can I join other days that have bedikos, even though I have an intervening day that lacked the bedikos? According to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, you don't need to have consecutive days to count. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you do. So these are the 2 issues that are in play in the Mishnah over here. Before we develop that, let's talk a little bit about whether Bechlal, the requirement for Bedikos, is a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan. So B'Pashtus, at first glance, we would assume that we're only talking about a Din D'Rabbanan, given that there's no explicit reference anywhere in Shas of any derivation of a Pasuk of requirement for Bedikos. So assumes the Tosfos HaRash here on Samach Tes Amud Beis Dibur Maskil Lav. Samach Tes Amud Aleph Dibur Maskil Lav. Tosfos HaRash Samach Tes Amud Aleph Dibur Maskil Lav. That the requirement for bedikos is chumrah ba'almahu. Chumrah ba'almahu. Chumrah ba'almahu, that you even require the ikuva, at least often chilas, and at least bedikos at the beginning and the end. The Beis Yosef here, however, has a puzzling line. The Beis Yosef, in discussing how we assume lemaisa about what bedikos are ma'akev b'di'evet, which we're not discussing yet, but the Beis Yosef, in his presentation of how we assume la'alafa, writes, the cave of the Kohani Rabusa Mesakalu, since it's a machlokes had a paskin, ein lahakil b'davar shu safik isrkaris. So it's inappropriate to be makel on a shayla that involves a safek iser karis. So it could be that all he means is that in broad terms, when we're talking about Hilchos Nida, we're talking about something that involves Yisurei Kares, even though the technical requirement for Bdikos itself is not something that would result, or its omission would not necessarily result in an Yisurei Kares. Or the Beis Yosef means what it more directly sounds like, that no, failure to perform the requisite minimal Bdikos could result in an Yisurei Kares. That if a woman's going to go to the mikvah and view herself as Mutaris Levaila, not having performed the requisite minimum bedikos, then even in a Torah she remains Tmeya and remains Asur Levaila. That's what Kveger points out in the Chuba we mentioned earlier, Simon Samach, the Mashmos of this line of Beis Yosef, is that we're talking about a Din D'Oraisa. What is the nature of this din d'oraisa? So most achronim who try and explain where such a din d'oraisa comes from assume that it has its source in v'safrala. Now v'safrala, sama'os v'chayiv, some zeres akasov, even though it's not a zeres akasov that's explicated in Rebbe Gemara, but some zeres akasov of v'safrala requires the digas. So if you look, for example, in Chidush HaKasim Sofer, Dibur Maskel V'Nirali, Chidush HaKasim Sofer here, on Daf Samachesim and Beis, Dibur Maskel V'Nirali. He writes as follows. Why should there be any requirement min HaTorah of a Bedika for Shiva Nekiyim? After all, once it's already Nista Mayana, it's not Mayana Pasuach anymore. So Meheka Tesi, that there should be any requirement of a Bedika. Ella must be that the term Misafrala is unnecessary otherwise. It's Meyusa. Since the Pasuk says, V'chiyatar Hazav Mizavo, and then it says, Achar Titar. So that tells us about the Tara process. Why does it have to say V'safrala? And if you're going to tell me there's a mitzvah sfira of actually counting, so that's not true. But parenthetically, that's the discussion that the Piskei Tshuva alludes to over here in Sifkat and Dalet from the Shalah, that the Shalah was of the opinion that there is a requirement of actually counting, Hayom Yom Yishon, Hayom Yom Sheni, to Shiv Nekiyim. Sorry? Tosus doesn't hold the way, but Tosus, according to the Girsa of the Nebuke Griv, on the side, may say that. Tosus is Ayin Beis. Tosus the Neva doesn't say that, but based on the Shalah, the Nebuke Griv, on the side of the Tosus, Tosus Ayin Beis, amends the Nosaf and Tosus. The Pashas of Tosus is not saying that. Tosus Ayin Beis, and I will do Masa Vasafrala. According to the Nusach of the Shalah, or based on the Shalah, Tosafot there says, Ein lo levarich. It sounds like, if you accept the Shalah, the Shalah say that there is a mitzvah sfira, but there's no bracha on the sfira. So then, according to the Shalah, we'll talk about this in its own context as we go on. If not, for the Chazanover, it's a parenthetical point. The Chazanover assumes, obviously, the Safra law can't be telling you there's a form of requirement to spheres. That's true according to most Baal Shem. It's true la halacha. You don't assume like the Shalal la halacha. It's basically Jew alludes to it here in Sifkat and Dalet. There is a Dasa Kainan and Chumash, Vayikra Perakafe Pasiches. Rabbi Forrest points this out. Perakafe Pasiches. That says the same thing as Tosis according to the first Teretz with the emendation of the Shalal. That the reason you don't say a Brachan, Spheres Shivas Nekiyim, is because Shematir v'tisor, but fundamentally there should have been a bracha, but that's all for now parenthetical. So Chazon Sofer writes, So it can't be that Shadim Misafir Alas Tayyid is a mitzvah sphere, because that's not true. Elo Karchach, it must be that Misafir Alas telling you that you have to be Mivarer the sphere through Bedikos, and you can't rely on the Chazaka, even Likuba. So if not for the Pasuk, I would have assumed you have a Cheskas Tara at some point, be it before the Hefzik Tara, be it after the Hefzik Tara, but once you have a Hefzik Tara, you've established a Cheskas Tara, she's no longer Hufak Mayana Pasuach, and you can rely on that Chazaka in the Torah, and the Xeris HaKasav, the Sefer Law comes and tells you, not true, that you need an additional level of Biror, you need to perform Bedikos in order to complete the Tara process. And then the Machlokas Tanan here has to do with what level of Chazaka is Li'ikuva. Or what level of Bedika here against this Chazaka is Li'ikuva. So is it sufficient to have day one, day seven? Do you have to have every day? Do they have to be consecutive days? So that all devolves around this issue as to what is the requirement of the Xeris HaKasav above and beyond what it would have assumed otherwise. There has to be some additional viewer, some additional bidika, and we can't rely on the initial chazaka. For next time, I want you to take a look at Sidrei Tara, Sifkati Dutas here. So I put on the Marmakomos, just one paragraph there. It's working well for Rashba and the Chazanish as well, who have a slightly different take on what this Xeris HaKasav will be telling us, what the requirement of Bedikos may be in HaTorah. So we'll start with that next time, and then we'll go on to discuss what is the minimum requirement of Bedikos together.
Nowadays, though, wouldn't it all be Derabanan, because we're dealing with Safek?